It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host Veronica Rickert is off today. Coming up, Native Americans have a long history with the sport of boxing here in Wisconsin. We'll learn more in today's edition of Wisconsin Life. First, we're talking about a new study in Wisconsin on prevailing wage laws. These laws set the minimum wages and benefits for workers on large public projects. A new study from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance concludes that these laws cost taxpayers more than $200 million last year. Here to talk about the study and how prevailing wage laws work is Dale Knapp. He's the research director for the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Dale, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Rob.
So before we get started on your study, can you explain what prevailing wage laws are and how they work here in the state?
Sure. Prevailing wage laws in Wisconsin actually go back to the 1930s, and they were put in place essentially to prevent low-wage, out-of-area contractors from coming in and undercutting local contractors for public projects. And many states have them. Some states don't. They've sort of come and gone a little bit. But ours has been around since the early 1930s. And as I mentioned, they're meant to reflect local wages so that local governments, when they do their building projects, they pay at least the wage that's sort of common in their county or their labor market.
And when do these laws kick in? Is it anything a local government does or state government, or is it only certain kinds of projects?
Well, for example, for roads and highways, it's generally all projects. We looked at the building and the building projects, the big building projects, and there's several cutoffs. So any large building project is clearly subject to the law. Generally, the cutoffs are, depending on the project, $100,000 to $234,000. So most building projects are going to come under the prevailing wage laws. Now, you know, a $50,000 roofing project might not, for example, but most, you know, the bigger projects do.
Now, I know this can get a bit complicated, but broad strokes, how yes. do they calculate this prevailing wage in an area?
Well, so in general, I mean, what they do is they survey contractors throughout the state. And what they try to do is they want to know what private contractors, on average, paid their employees, and they're looking by specific occupation for private building projects. So the survey is generally looking at private employers on private projects, and then they use that data to generate a prevailing wage that would be used for public projects. Now, what we did is we really looked at this process in some detail and found several quote-unquote flaws with how we do it. You know, one is, even though this survey, contractors are required by law to fill out and return this survey, there's no penalties for not returning it. So we only get about 10% response rate. You compare that to a similar federal survey using the same employers, they get about a 70% return. And that 10% isn't necessarily a bad thing as long as the respondents, the characteristics of the respondents reflect sort of the underlying industry. Unfortunately, about 87% of the hours reported are union hours, and we know the overall industry is about 25% union. In the building and construction, it's probably a little bit higher than that. We just don't know what that percentage is, but we know we're pretty sure it's not 87%. And then the third sort of big flaw is once they get this data, one of the ways that they calculate the prevailing wage, typically you would expect they would just take the data and average it. Well, they do. They average it, but what they do is they only average the top 51% of hours. So they sort all of the wage rates from high to low, and once the number of hours for each wage gets to 51%, they only average that top half. And that tends to skew the prevailing wages above what a traditional average would be.
We're talking to Dale Knapp with the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. His group has a new study out on the costs of the state's prevailing wage laws. Okay, we set the groundwork there. You pointed towards some ways that these wages are set too high. So how much, according to this study, is Wisconsin in effect overpaying based on this law?
Well, I don't think I would exactly frame it that way. What we said is there's another survey that's out there, this federal survey that looks at average wages by occupation. And so what we did is we looked at how the prevailing wages that are calculated by the state here differ from this federal survey. And what you find is, on average, the differential is about 45%, and it varies by occupation. So using that number and using an assumption which has been generated in the literature on this, that labor costs are between 20% and 30% of the total cost of the project, essentially you get a difference of between $200 and $300 million on total project costs in 2014 of about $1.8 billion.
And I know officially Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance is not taking this study and saying the law should change this way or that way, but is there a thought that if we just did what the federal government does or other state governments do, it could cost the state less money?
Well, that's the point of the study was really about how we calculate this and sort of the flaws, and it wasn't about whether we should or we shouldn't have it. That's a totally different debate. But you know, if we have a prevailing wage law, it makes sense to collect the data, process the data, and calculate it in a statistically sound way, and I think the federal survey tells us that if you would do that, the prevailing wages that would fall out of that would be somewhat lower than what we were seeing out of our method.
Now, some of the response to this study from contractors and others has been the net effect, if we did what you're saying, would be to pay less to some workers on public projects. And there's been an argument, A, that you get what you pay for. If we pay less, we may not get the same quality of work. And that if we're paying a little more, that's okay because we're keeping in the state on board and trained a qualified construction labor force in an industry that can fluctuate up and down otherwise. So maybe even if we are paying more, there's some benefit to this. Did you try to quantify that at all in the report?
Again, we didn't. That this was more about, you know, and unfortunately for the listeners, it gets a little bit technical. But this was mostly about methodology. You know, in the end, we wanted to take a look. You know, the group that hired us wanted us to take a look at what the overall cost to taxpayers would be. But you know, the study was really about the technical details and the methodology and what that means for prevailing wages.
Now, one lawmaker, State Representative Rob Hutton, has called for a repealing the prevailing wage laws. And I know you said the report doesn't really look at that. It's more about how it's calculated, the methodology behind it. But do you think that your report could be used by those calling for either a change in the calculation or a repeal of the prevailing wage law?
Well, you know, our research gets used for a lot of things, and my guess is yes, it will probably, you know, given his proposal, you know, it will probably be used for that. You know, I'm not sure the extent to which they'll be able to use it. For one thing, it the prevailing wage law applies to the building construction, which is one part of public construction. It also applies to roads and highways and sewers, et cetera. And we didn't look at any of these other things. So we don't, you know, this study gives no, it doesn't provide any sense of really what the overall impact would be. I think, you know, in this one area, there's an impact. You know, it doesn't provide an estimate of sort of the total impact. But, I'm guessing, sure, that the, you know, those pushing for a change to prevailing wage or elimination will probably, you know, use some of the findings.
Dale, thanks, as always, for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's Dale Knapp, Research Director for the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, talking about their new study on prevailing wage laws in Wisconsin.